Good morning and welcome to St. James Westminster. We're so happy to have you with us. My name is Hannah Scorer, and here with Keith Nethery, we are leading the service of the word portion of this audio service. Participating in music this morning is Shen Jones, Katie Clark, Paul Grambo, Victoria Piovesin, Duncan Seislin, led as ever by Stephen Hollowitz, and as always, our sound engineer John Gardy is here with us this morning as well. I would invite you to check out our Sunday school videos that come out in the email with this link or on our Facebook page. And now I would ask you to prepare yourselves for worship.
Let us pray. Merciful Lord, grant to your faithful people pardon and peace, that we may be cleansed from all our sins and serve you with a quiet mind, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our reading from Paul's first letter to the Christian community at Corinth. If I proclaim the gospel, this gives me no ground for boasting, for an obligation is laid on me, and woe to me if I do not proclaim the gospel. For if I do this of my own will, I will have a reward, but if not of my own will, I am entrusted with a commission. What then is my reward? Just this, that in my proclamation I may make the gospel free of charge, so as not to make full use of my rights in the gospel. For though I am free with respect to all, I have made myself a slave to all, so that I might win more of them. To the Jews I become as a Jew, in order to win Jews. To those under the law I become as one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law I become as one outside the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so that I might win those outside the law. To the weak I become weak, so that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that I might by all means save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, so that I might share in its blessings. The word of the Lord. Thank you.
Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. As soon as they left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening, at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons, and the whole city was gathered around the door. And he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." He answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring towns, so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came to do." And he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. The Gospel of Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Let me begin by something that's completely off track, but I thought just because it's worth sharing. Many of you will know that in a past life I was a radio sportscaster, and I used to have great fun asking people what they thought radio people looked like when they were on air. Most people responded, "Well, you know, you must have to go through the whole thing like television folks and be all dressed up and hair done and all that kind of stuff." And I says, most of us, you know, in the summer we're in there in t-shirts and shorts, and I had very many times in my career put my feet up on a desk while I was reading a sportscast, and people just couldn't get their brain around that understanding of why we would do that, how we got away with it. But the reality is nobody could see us. Well, you can't see me today, so that means that you may think I'm standing here in a clergy collar and a jacket and all those things, but I'm in my Super Bowl suit as a 40-some year fan of the Kansas City Chiefs, who will play later today against Tampa Bay. I remember now who the opponents are. Looking for their second straight Super Bowl, the Chiefs. So I, of course, have a hat and a hoodie and other things and much more paraphernalia to wear on Super Bowl Sunday. So that's the irrelevant stuff. Now let's talk about the readings. When I first looked at the readings for today, I went, what do you preach on out of this? There's nothing here. It's just so bland. But as always, if you go back and try and find out the connection between the readings, as the people who put together the lectionary resources, they brought these readings together to show a theme, oftentimes you can find something rather interesting. And so I might say that the theme is new beginnings, which makes sense. We are not far away from Lent. Ash Wednesday is only a week and a half away, and then we're into Lent, and then we're into Holy Week and Easter. We really are making the transition from Christmas to Easter. We're in a place of new beginnings. As we continue our look then at Paul's first letter to the Christian community at Corinth and Mark's Gospel, there are some beginnings to think about. And some of those are chronological. We don't always stop to think about who wrote what and when they wrote it. Paul's letters, generally speaking, are the earliest of the New Testament scriptures. Paul's letter to the Christian community of Corinth would predate Mark's Gospel. Mark's Gospel is the first of the four Gospels written. So in both instances, they're talking about something new. Paul is making the transition from speaking to those who were Jewish to now speaking to people who were Gentiles, people who participated in other religions, or maybe no religion at all, people who followed cultic practices. So Paul is trying to do two things. He's trying to separate Christianity, or the way, from Judaism, which is its predecessor, but also trying to open the door to those of other religions, those further afield than Jerusalem. And so, through Corinthians, Paul does a tremendous amount of basic instruction. In the passage today, he's talking about what it means to be someone who proclaims the way, or Christianity. There really wasn't much in the way of any kind of understanding or model of how to do that. The way is only 2 decades or less old. So, with Judaism being very defined by rules and regulations, and Gentile religions having their own rules and regulations, Paul is trying to tell people what it is to be a Christian. And he's talking about why he would want to preach. Talking about, yes, it would be okay for him to be paid to be a person who preaches, to make this his life's work. But at the same time, talking about why he does it, and it has nothing to do with being compensated. It has to do with reaching people. It has to do with taking what he believed about Christianity and bringing it in such a new way as to show it to people who had no basis to understand it. So as he says, if they are weak, I'll come to them as someone who is weak, to try and help them understand. So it's probably through Paul's missionary work and the growing of the way in the early time following Jesus that the Gospels came to be written. And Mark wrote the first one. Mark writes in the time that the Romans are moving towards conflict with Israel. We know that in 70, the temple is destroyed, that the Romans sacked Jerusalem and knocked down the temple, took away the pillar of what they believed. This is the time frame that Mark writes. And Mark is trying to help people understand the seismic shift that is going on in faith, to show them who Jesus is, was, and always will be. I found it very interesting that Mark talks early on about Jesus going away in a deserted place to pray by himself, to be revitalized. First of many times, we hear of the disciples coming charging in to tell Jesus what he needed to do. And he said, no, I don't need to go there. I don't need to go to the other villages. I need to go to talk to other people. Showing the understanding that Christianity, that the way, that following Jesus Christ was not a Jewish thing. It may have spawned from that, but it was to be something that would encompass the world. Now, we didn't read the Old Testament reading. Had we would have found another new beginning. It was from the 40th chapter of Isaiah. Have you not seen? Have you not heard? Do you not know? We talked not so long ago in a homily about the fact that the first 39 chapters of Isaiah are pre-exilic, before the exile. And starting at chapter 40, it's most likely written by a follower of Isaiah a couple of centuries later, after the exile. There we go again. A new beginning. There are so many new beginnings, times of change, times of going forward in faith. We could trace many of them through the years. Probably, if I was to pick an example, the easiest one is to look at the Reformation. We could also talk about the split between the Eastern and Western Church, which happened 500 years before that. But in both of those instances, suddenly there was a new understanding and a new way. It's still based on the same understanding of God and a relationship with God, but it's brand new. Are we not at one of those times right now? It's so easy to see them when we look back. It's harder to see them and understand them when we're living them, when we're trying to build them. There has, in the last few years, been such an upheaval of social justice, of changing in the way that society is built, of calling for equality, of calling for justice, of calling for fairness. So many leaders have been raised up. Help us journey on that path. And it's something I think quite appropriate for the Anglican Church. Because we are known, whether we like it or not, as the staid, traditional church, rooted in history. Maybe that's not who we are. Matter of fact, I know that's not who we are, and it's certainly not who we are becoming. In my time in ministry, the last 25 years, the ground of Anglicanism has been shaking, quaking, because we are changing. I'm not sure where we're going completely. Just the same as I'm not sure Paul knew exactly where the way was going. I'm not sure Mark knew exactly what it meant to write the first gospel. I'm positive that the follower of Isaiah writing two centuries after him, after the exile, was troubled by what it would be like going forward. I don't think the reformers knew what they were starting. Do we know what we're involved in? Are we willing to allow it to unfold? Will we stick in our heels and say, no, this is who we have always been and who we always will be? Or will we be open to the Spirit of God to move forward? To create heaven on earth? It's not my decision. It's not your decision. It's not Hannah's decision. It's not even John, our sound technician's decision. It's all of our decisions together. Who are we? Whose are we? Where are we going? That should give you lots to think about. Amen.
Going.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. As we stand in God's presence, let us pray to the Lord, saying, Lord, have mercy. For the whole people of God, that each one may be a true and faithful servant of Christ, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For those drawing near to the light of faith, the Lord will bring them to true knowledge of himself. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For our family and friends, that the Lord will give them joy and satisfaction in all they do. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For those who are lonely, sick, hungry, persecuted, or ignored, that the Lord will comfort and sustain them. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For our country and for our world, that the Lord will help us to contribute to its true growth and well-being. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the whole human family, we may live together in justice and peace. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Gathering our prayers and praises into one, let us pray as our Savior taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen.
Just before we go, a reminder that the annual vestry meeting of St. James Westminster Anglican Church will be held on Sunday, February the 14th, beginning at 10:30 a.m. on the Zoom online platform. You'll need to sign up if you want to come. You can check out our weekly spiritual reflections and emails that come out from the office on a weekday basis. They will usually have some kind of connection to the sign-up process for vestry, or you can call or email the office to get access to the link for vestry. Vestry is the meeting of the members of St. James Westminster, pure and simple. 11:30, Sunday, February the 14th. We hope that you will consider attending. For now, let us go in peace to love and serve the Lord and each other. Thanks be to God.